You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, November 23rd, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com, and our episode today is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season is different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. On today's show, we are going to talk about the now 0-10 New York Jets. They lost yet again yesterday to the Los Angeles Chargers. The final score was 34-28 in Los Angeles. I said it a few weeks ago. The Jets are now making these games a little bit more interesting. In the early stages of the 2020 season, the Jets just kept losing games the same way. They were not even remotely competitive. Most bad teams are bad because they find different ways to lose games. And the Jets lost a game on Sunday in a way they haven't lost many games this season. And that was by playing an absolutely terrible first half, playing better in the second half, but not enough because the first half was so bad. The Jets got into such a hole in the first half that even a pretty good performance in the second half was not enough to win the game. And with this loss, the Jets not only fell to 0-10, but they became the first team in the NFL in 2020 to be officially eliminated from playoff contention. And of course, that's no shock. Even if the Jets had won yesterday and kept themselves technically in the playoff race, we know that the playoffs were not going to happen. We know that any realistic hope of the playoffs ended a long time ago, because the Jets haven't been able to win any games to this point in the season, and one win was not going to turn that around. But you know, as I mentioned, the Jets got off. Jets did not play a good first half, but I should revise that statement a little bit, because they actually got off to a pretty good start in this game. They forced the Chargers to punt on their first drive, and then Henry Anderson blocked a punt, and the Jets were in business. They got the ball on the Chargers' 29-yard line, and in four plays, they scored a touchdown. LaMichael Pirine had a 5-yard touchdown run, and the Jets ran it on all four plays on the touchdown drive, gained 29 yards in total. They ran the ball behind Mekhi Becton, which was a refreshing change of pace. And the Jets were off to a good start. It was 7-0. Then the Chargers drove down the field, but Marcus May made a big play on the goal line. The Chargers got the ball into the red zone. Justin Herbert found Keenan Allen down to the 4-yard line, but Marcus May made a big hit and forced a fumble, and the Jets got the ball back. So this game got off to a pretty good start for the Jets. They got a quick defensive stop, blocked a punt, scored a touchdown, did allow a drive, but forced a turnover near the goal line. So Jets were up 6-0 because Sam Ficken missed the extra point. So it was only 6-0, not 7-0. But then immediately after the fumble, Jets gave it right back. Joe Flacco throws a brutal interception on an out route. It's an easy pick six. The Chargers then took the lead, and things started to fall apart for the Jets from that point. They had a quick three and out on a series that gained 0 yards. Then the Chargers, it only took them 5 plays to go 57 yards. Justin Herbert found Mike Williams for a 39-yard touchdown. Arthur Mallett got beaten on the play. Marcus May, trying to tackle Williams, actually kind of took Mallett out and allowed Williams to go down the field and score. It was 14-6. Another three and out for the Jets. Another touchdown drive for the Chargers. 7 plays, 68 yards, capped by a 2-yard touchdown pass from Justin Herbert to Hunter Henry. Jets continued to not do much prior to the half. They had a couple more series that ended in punts, only a couple of first downs. And right before halftime, the Chargers were able to put together a field goal drive. They made a 44-yard field goal right at the end of the first half. That made it 24-6, and it felt like the game was over at that point. Another miserable performance by the Jets, but then they came out in the third quarter and actually started making some things happen. Flacco found Breshad Perriman for a 49-yard touchdown. Suddenly Flacco and Perriman becoming a combination with some chemistry. It was 24-13. Felt like the Jets, you know, maybe had some life, but the defense promptly allowed a 12-play touchdown drive. Herbert found Keenan Allen for 13 yards and a score. So it's 31-13, and again, it feels like the game's over. But then the Jets put together another drive. They put together a 10-play drive. It was capped by a 1-yard touchdown run by Frank Gore. Denzel Mims made some plays happen. He drew a big penalty to get the Jets into business, and then he had a 27-yard reception on third down to get the Jets going. So the Jets again scored a touchdown, and the score was 31-19 because Ficken missed another extra point. The Jets defense then once again failed to hold the Chargers. They allowed a field. They at least held the Chargers to a field goal drive after 16 plays. But the Chargers scored again. Jets defense did not play well in this game, as you might imagine from the 34 points the Chargers scored. So it was 34-19. Jets put together another touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. Flacco found Chris Herndon, of all people. Chris Herndon actually made a play in this game to cut it to 34-26. And then the Jets defense actually did the job. They forced a punt. They forced a quick three and out when they needed it. And the Jets got the ball back down 8 with a chance to tie the game. Unfortunately, they were not able to do anything. They turned it over on downs. Flacco missed a pass intended for Denzel Mims on 4th and 9. And that was pretty much it. The Chargers had enough time to run out the clock down to 1 second. The Jets actually did get another three and out. And instead of trying to punt it, because the Chargers had already had one punt blocked in the game, and this is a team that's had special teams issues all year, instead of punting the ball, the Chargers took an intentional safety, and they were not able to run the clock completely to zero. There actually was 1 second left when they took the safety. That cut the score to 34-28. It was a smart play, because if you're the Chargers in that spot, you're up 8 in the final 10 seconds of the game. The ball was snapped with about 8 seconds left. You don't want to risk punting the ball. So they took an intentional safety to run the clock out. And at least if they had to kick the ball in a free kick after a safety, there's no chance of the Jets blocking it. They took the safety with 1 second left, and then Braxton Berrios was unable to do anything with the return. And the Jets had their 10th loss of the season, a game where, again, really got it was kind of a tale of three games. Jets got off to a good start with the blocked punt, the Gore touchdown, the turnover on the goal line. Then the rest of the first half was Chargers domination. Then the second half was the Jets actually playing pretty well and making a game out of it, but just not enough. And head on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll talk about some of the reasons that I think the Jets lost this game. Nothing beats the feeling of accomplishment that comes from hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself, and Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members work out all at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season is different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Whether you have 2 TVs to watch 2 games at a time like me, or just 1 TV, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Locked On Jets podcast after loss number 10 of the 2020 season for the New York Jets. They were defeated yesterday in Los Angeles by the Chargers 34-28. And throughout this season, and even before this season, we've talked about the issues on this team. And at the risk of oversimplifying, there are two major issues, I think, on this team. The first is the lack of talent, which is primarily a result of years and years of bad drafting, bad free agent signings, bad player decisions, and especially just the incomprehensible way the Jets handled the 2019 offseason. And that's something that still has major implications on the team to this day. And a little bit Joe Douglas missing on some free agent signings in the last offseason. The other issue, I think, is coaching. And it can be difficult to figure out exactly what falls on coaching, what falls on the lack of talent. These are difficult things to quantify. But I think yesterday's game really shows you, to me, this is the clearest indicator of how pronounced the coaching issues are on this team. Because this opponent the Jets played yesterday, you can't really say that the Jets were overmatched. This team was 2-7 going into the game. And I think this is the kind of game that shows you this Jets team may not be that talented, but they don't have 0-16 talent. You know, I look at a couple of things when you talk about coaching. One of the things I look at, and this is something that tells me a lot about coaching quality, how does a team play off its bye? Because you've had extra time to prepare. So that means the team should play above its skill level. And what did the Jets do in yesterday's game? They got off to a start where they were down 24-6 at halftime. That's the adjustment. That's what we got from an extra week of preparation from this coaching staff. 24-6 to a 2-7 opponent. 2-7. One of the other things I look at when it comes to coaching is, how does a team respond to adversity? Is the team mentally tough? Is the team trained to fight through difficult times? Well, we saw, as I mentioned, the Jets got off to a good start in this game. Got off, you know, got blocked a punt early, forced a punt, blocked it, scored a touchdown, got a big turnover on the goal line. Then Joe Flacco throws an ugly interception. And the game just falls apart for the Jets from that point. They fall down 24-6, and essentially it's over at that point, even though the Jets actually did play a decent second half. As it turns out, that deficit was just too much. You know, I look at the defensive side of the ball, and there are some things I can forgive with Greg Williams. I mean, look, again, the defense is not that talented. Justin Herbert played well in this game. Justin Herbert hit some impressive passes. He made some good reads. There's only so much you can do, and especially when you're playing with a young secondary. A secondary that's very young, and a defensive front that does not really have a premium pass rusher. And, you know, Henry Anderson had some moments in the game. Quinnen Williams had some moments in the game. But not a defense with a premium pass rusher at this point. I can't forgive things like allowing Keenan Allen to go for 100 yards in the first half. Because there are certain things you can do. You can try and at least make Herbert uncomfortable. You can figure out a way to make Herbert uncomfortable. One of them would be making sure you take away his favorite option. At least force him to go to a second option. You know, force him to do something else. And the Jets did not do a good enough job in this game. And that brings me to my biggest issue, which was on the offensive side of the ball. The first half game plan, which, again, this was what the Jets came up with in their extra bye week. Ty Johnson had more targets in the first half than all of the Jets' wide receivers combined. How does that make any sense? I mean, I get trying to incorporate Ty Johnson into the game plan. You know, he had a couple big runs a few weeks back in Miami and then was, you know, nowhere to be found since, really. But for him to have more targets in the passing game than all of your wide receivers, that makes no sense under any circumstances. And I was upset with the Jets at halftime of the game because of that game plan. But as upset as I was with the coaching staff in the first half, I became irate in the second half because it became obvious once the Jets fell way behind and had no choice but to try and throw the ball deep, these Chargers corners could not handle Breshad Perriman and Denzel Mims. And the Jets waited an entire half to try and exploit that. Denzel Mims, it was either he went up and, I mean, if Flacco put the ball anywhere near Mims, he was either going to make a catch or he was going to draw an interference penalty. And as far as Perriman goes, it's a second straight game with a long touchdown catch. There were plays to be made all over the field, and the Jets did not make them. The Jets did not even try and make them. And I'm not going to get on Flacco because, I mean, Flacco, we know what Flacco is. I think all things considered, especially in the second half, now it was an ugly first half, but in the second half, you know, Flacco put the ball where he needed to put it. We know Flacco is going to have issues when the protection breaks down. He's got really no ability to extend the play, and he you know, the interception on the goal line was brutal. I mean, there were some ugly moments from Flacco. I'm not going to get on Flacco. I'm going to get on the coaching staff for not exploiting a matchup. And during the game, you know, we heard from the sideline report that this was part of the plan, apparently, that they wanted to establish the run in the first half instead of take advantage of the opportunities that they had, of the matchups that they had. Again, this is just vintage Gase, Loggins play calling, where they are so focused on what they want to do that they don't even care what the matchups are. And in the second half, when the Jets started exploiting them, the offense did its job. You know, the offense actually put some points on the board. And the Jets had no interest in trying to exploit this in the first. They did not even attempt it until they had to. I mean, how in a game where you are trailing for the vast majority, when almost the entire second half, you're down the entire second half, and almost the entire second half, you're down by double digits. How do you have more rushing attempts than passing attempts until there are 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter? How did, under any circumstances, do in the first half of the game, you have more targets to your number three running back in the passing game than your entire group of wide receivers combined, under any circumstances, much less circumstances where we, as we saw in the second half, the Chargers could not cover your wide receivers. In a game where your defense is struggling, where you know you're going to have to score points, where you know you're going to have to have an explosive offensive game, you don't even try. This team might have talent issues. This is not an 0-16 roster. This was a game that was winnable. This game was winnable, and the coaching staff decided they did not want to win. And look, maybe you're happy about it. Maybe you want the Jets to go 0-16 because you want Trevor Lawrence. Fine. But just understand, watching this game, and you probably do, understand that once the Jets get Trevor Lawrence, they're going nowhere unless they get this coaching staff out of here. Because that was, that's textbook losing a winnable game. Built Bar is the most delicious protein bar ever, and the new Built Bar is even more delicious because now there are 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Coconut Almond has 18 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Cookies and Cream has 17 grams protein, 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, one word, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at BuiltBar, BuiltBar.com. Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday after the Jets are defeated by the Los Angeles Chargers to fall to 0-10 on the 2020 season. The final score of the game was 34-28. Jets got off to a terrible start. They made a little bit of a rally in the second half, but it was not enough. If you're looking for some silver linings in this game, I mean, I can give you some. Now, one of them doesn't really matter that much in the grand scheme of things. It was the game Henry Anderson had, and Anderson's been a pretty big disappointment since he signed his new contract, but he was able to block a punt. He had half a sack. He was in on some pressures, so that was good. But you did see some quality play out of some young players for the Jets in this game, and I think, you know, no matter what your views are on whether you want the Jets to win games or whether you want them to lose for draft position, I think everybody wants the young players to play well. You know, even if you want the Jets to lose so that they get the number one overall pick, I think your ideal scenario would be young players playing well, just not enough for the Jets to win. So maybe yesterday was your ideal scenario. And maybe, you know, maybe you even have it in your mind that you want that to happen and you want the Jets to lose so that you can see, like yesterday, how big of an issue the coaching staff is, and maybe the coaching staff will get fired. But in any event, you know, some very promising performances. Foley Fatukasi had 6 tackles, so he played pretty well. I think Quinnen Williams had a few moments. It was not a spectacular performance, but you know, Quinnen Williams shows you signs of life. So he was in on a couple pass rushes. He had a half a sack. So some decent moments for Quinnen Williams. But the rookie class, I thought there were some good things from the rookie class. We talked about Mims, how the Chargers had issues covering Mims. He finished the game with 3 catches for 71 yards and drew a couple pass interference penalties just because the Chargers had a tough time covering him. I think it's a sign of what could come from Denzel Mims. Mims is a guy who through the first handful of games, through his first four games in the NFL, looks like a player. Mekhi Becton continues to have his moments. Like I said, the Jets ran behind him on the first touchdown drive. They stopped running behind him after that. Again, go back to play calling, but Mekhi Becton, I think, has shown you good things this year. I thought Bryce Hall, in a game where the Jets really struggled to defend the pass, and Hall did not play a perfect game, but he had some good moments in this game. There were some good coverages he had. There was one point early in the game where he diagnosed a screen, and pretty much he diagnosed it, I think, before the blockers did, because he was on the ball carrier before the blockers even realized it. And he showed that he's willing to tackle. I thought there were some decent things from Bryce Hall in this game. So even if you're the kind of fan who's rooting for a loss right now, and I'm not going to judge, you can root for whatever you want in these games. I understand the rationale for people who want to win. I understand the rationale for people who want to lose. But ultimately, I think it's best for the Jets, whether they win or lose, to see young players showing promise. And I think you saw some of that in this game. And, this rookie class, it's been impossible to judge because there's been so many injuries. Guys have not been able to get on the field, but you're starting to see some promising things from these guys. And, I don't want to overrate the performances, because it's just a couple games and it's just a few promising signs. And we've seen in the past, just because a rookie has a few moments does not necessarily mean they're going to turn into an impact player in the future. It doesn't even mean that they're going to be a positive contributor in the future. But at this point of the year, with the Jets officially eliminated from the playoff race, with things looking so dismal, there are at least some positive signs to take from these games, even as the Jets lose. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy this show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you have a good Monday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.